Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight we consider the words of the evangelist Matthew, chapter 27, verses 15 to 23. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." What can we say? The murderer, the rebellious, the sinner, Barabbas, gets set free, and the innocent Son of God dies in his place. There is no more perfect parable in all Scripture for exactly what Jesus came here to do for us. Does Barabbas really get off scot-free just because Jesus was condemned? Yes, absolutely. He walks away immediately without any consequence or punishment of any kind, free to go, simply because Jesus took his place. And Barabbas, of course, we are talking about earthly consequences and earthly punishment. But the Bible makes it clear that what Barabbas received on this earth, we receive in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 19. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Universal objective justification. Justification meaning the judge sits on the seat, just as Pilate did, only this time we're talking about the judge, God the Father, and makes the pronouncement. You are free to go, just like Pilate did for Barabbas. Universal, meaning it is true for the whole world without a single exception, but also meaning it is true for every sin. God doesn't do things partially, does he? God isn't Santa Claus making a list and checking it twice. It doesn't go through our lives, this sin, okay, nope, that one I'm not going to forgive. He wipes them all clean. Eraser on the blackboard, they're gone. I remember trying to explain this once to a group of Baptists, small group of Baptists in Ghana and Africa. And they understood immediately what I was saying, but they couldn't accept it. They kept coming up with excuses, but we have to live a good life, but only if we have faith, but. There are no buts, no adversatives, no exceptions to the justification of our God. It is universal and objective, which is one of my favorite things to talk about and explain, because it gave me the opportunity to talk about how handsome I am. I'd often have a translator standing next to me, and so I'd ask the people I'm teaching, who's better looking, me or this guy? And in India, I'm always the better looking one just because I have white skin. Over here, it's not so easy. If you ask somebody who's more handsome, it depends on your point of view, what you like, what you don't like, what you see. That's subjective. That's the opposite of objective. But then I would ask them who's taller. And again, it's easy to be the tallest guy in India. And my translator, Deepal, stood about here. That's not subjective, that's objective. It doesn't depend on anything within yourself. In this case, I was always the taller one, and everyone who saw the two of us standing together would say, I'm the taller one. It was obvious. Objective. Not depending on anything in yourself. Always true, regardless of who you are or what you've done or what your point of view may be. So too, Barabbas is justified, declared righteous without any reference to himself. Free to go purely and only because Jesus takes his place regardless of all the crimes and horrible things that he had done. The blood of Jesus sets him free. And the blood of Jesus always offers forgiveness. Unfortunately, it does also sometimes condemn. Jesus warned about this in John 16. And when he comes, he being the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now listen to the why. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. He doesn't convict the world of sin because they're sinners, even though they are. He doesn't convict the world of sin because of the hatred and the killing. He convicts the world of sin because they do not believe in Jesus. If Jesus had not come, if God had not revealed himself in the man, Jesus Christ, if Jesus had not died for the sins of the world, then the world, the unbelievers, would have an excuse. Maybe not a good one. Probably wouldn't hold up. But they would have some excuse before the throne of God. How are we supposed to know you existed, God? But because Jesus has come, what will the Lord say? Well, you didn't give us any evidence. I sent my son, who did many miracles, including rising from the dead, and told you everything you need to know about God. What more could I do? Okay, but it's not fair because we are born in our sin and we tried really hard to live according to your law and do the right thing, but, you know, we just couldn't do it. My son died and I freely offered forgiveness to anyone who wants it. What excuse is left after that? To speak before the throne of God. And so the fact of Jesus' coming, the fact of his death, and the fact of that universal objective justification we were just talking about put the final stamp, the final condemnation on anyone who refuses to accept it. Because after that, there is no excuse left before the throne of God. And why would anyone reject this gift that God gives, that God offers? Pilate is a coward. His job was to see that righteousness was done, that the innocent go free and the guilty are punished. And knowing full well that Jesus was innocent, he condemns him anyway out of fear of the crowd. He is a coward. But he's not a fool. He knows full well why the Jews brought Jesus before him, and why people, even to this day, reject Jesus out of envy. The boy in class who gets straight A's is not usually the most popular one. That one person at work who really does a good job and kind of makes everyone else look lazy and slothful is often the one they criticize and talk about behind their back. Because the one thing people cannot stand is being shown up. And so the Jews revel in the blood of Jesus, not in the forgiveness it offers, but in the destruction of the Son of God, for the sole reason that they cannot stand to admit their own failure. They cannot stand to be judged against that perfect life. When Jesus comes to the world in love, offering forgiveness for all people, the people recognize that admitting and accepting that forgiveness means admitting and confessing just how sinful they really are. It means admitting that we cannot create world peace. It means admitting that all our dreams of what man and the glory that man can accomplish on his own is sinful rubbish and nothingness. And although the world is happy to talk about a prophet who speaks of love and forgiveness, they are not willing to accept a God who needed to die because of man's sinfulness. So we are left with the choice before us in our text. The choice of admitting and accepting that we are Barabbas, the sinful, the rebellious, the murderer. And with that confession, receiving, as Barabbas did, the freedom that Jesus' blood offers. Or the choice of standing in pride with the crowd, demanding that we can figure it out or do it on our own, and rejecting that wonderful free gift that Christ offers, and receiving instead only the condemnation that we so richly deserve. Amen.